Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Decrypted is brought to you by Red Hat, whose broad portfolio of open source technologies for the enterprise helps you get from where you are to where you want to be. Red Hat, the open technology to help you realize your vision. Learn more at redhat.com/opentech.
Just over a year ago, Francisco Riordan was a 27-year-old software engineer, and he joined a venture capital firm called Rothenberg Ventures. The company's founder, Mike Rothenberg, was a young, charismatic Stanford University grad, and he was known around Silicon Valley for throwing these extravagant parties.
Francisco had heard about his new employer's reputation, partly from a skeptical story I wrote for Business Week back in 2015. At the time, Francisco didn't think much of it.
It made me think it was a little bit risky, but I still thought the company was making good investments based on their portfolio. Mm-hmm. So I sort of brushed those concerns aside. And in retrospect, I shouldn't have done that.
I shouldn't have done that. Francisco says this because soon after he joined, he started noticing some unusual things, things that were raising his suspicions.
The more he dug around, the more he found. And just a few months in, he discovered something he thought was bad, maybe even against the law. Something that bothered him enough to take the very serious step of secretly reporting it to government regulators.
Yeah, I mean, the internal debate was, what will people think of me for doing this? I felt pretty sure it was the right thing to do, but, you know, I thought about what are the consequences to me personally if I blow the whistle.
A week after Francisco filled out an online form on the website of the SEC, short for the Securities and Exchange Commission, a lawyer from the commission got in touch with him.
From there, Francisco became something of a double agent, providing the government information about his employer.
Francisco's actions set in motion a series of events that ultimately brought down one of the venture capital industry's aspiring stars. In addition to being investigated by the SEC, Rothenberg and his firm today is facing lawsuits from investors, creditors, and former employees. Hi, I'm Aki Ito.
And I'm Adam Satriano.
And this week on Decrypted, the whistleblower who secretly took on an ambitious venture capitalist is coming out, revealing his identity and publicly speaking out about his experiences for the very first time.
Francisco said he decided to speak to us in part to encourage others to take action if they're seeing bad behavior at their companies.
In Silicon Valley, where corporate governance sometimes takes a backseat to growing fast and making a name for yourself, employees are serving as one of the industry's toughest checks. So Adam, you wrote a story about Mike Rothenberg and his VC firm back in 2015. The headline was, tellingly, Silicon Valley's party animal.
Yes, he did not like that.
Yeah, I bet. Give us some background about the guy.
What got me interested was you had this young venture capitalist. He had raised a decent amount of money. And I'd also heard the story that he had first introduced Mark Zuckerberg to Instagram's founder, Kevin Zinstrom. This was back when they were in their college days. But more than anything, I had heard about these events that he was throwing around San Francisco.
Yeah, can you give us an example?
Well, my favorite was these events that he had that he called puppy parties, and they would rent out puppies that people could pet. But there was this other one they did that he called Founders Field Day, and this was at AT&T Park where the San Francisco Giants baseball team plays. And he rented the whole thing out, outfitted it with virtual reality booths and other thing for entrepreneurs to come and play with.
Yeah, this is the thing that the HBO show Silicon Valley ended up parodying, right?
Yeah, it was this perfect example of all the absurdity and exuberance of the startup lifestyle.
Richard, after your perfect game at TechCrunch Disrupt a few weeks ago, we fell in love with you and your tech.
Look, we know everyone in the Valley is after you.
And we know that you're probably going to go with Peter Gregory. But we'd love to have you come play on our team.
Let Stern Taylor Capital fund in on your Series A financing.
Because together, Richard, we'd be a home run!
All right.
What do you say, Richard?
And Rothenberg really seemed like a character from the show. When I interviewed him for that story in 2015, I sometimes wondered if he was putting me on. He has a real gift for hyperbole, even by the lofty standards of Silicon Valley. Here's a clip from a talk he gave at Stanford a few years ago.
We want to talk a little bit about blue ocean. So when you're in a blue ocean, it means that it's kind of a new market. It hasn't fully developed, and people are not yet sure where it's going to go. But everybody wins because it's a blue ocean, and everybody's gathering the opportunities. And now back to red oceans. Rewind. What did you just say? In a blue ocean, everybody can win?
The story we did wasn't a flattering profile. Some former employees told me that Rothenberg made them buy up all the week's issues of Business Week at the airport so they wouldn't see him.
But the firm was doing just fine even after your story, right?
Yeah, they aren't a big firm by any stretch, but they were backing a lot of companies like the stock trading app Robinhood, which is now valued at more than $1 billion. And it was with that backdrop that Francisco joined Rothenberg Ventures to run their website and office IT system. We recently visited Francisco at his one-bedroom apartment in one of San Francisco's residential neighborhoods. It's in an old building built after the 1906 earthquake. It's at the top of one of the city's many large hills.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Bringing me gifts?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I thought you grabbed one.
No.
This is Akhe.
Hey there.
Cisco, good to meet you.
He gave us a quick tour. It's essentially a nerdy bachelor pad. There was a big whiteboard on one side of the living room, which I've seen in the bedrooms of some of my other friends who are engineers, too. It's so that they can write out their code by hand. Francisco also had these three big computer monitors on his desk, plus a few consoles to play his video games. And he had these framed pictures of Apple's famous ad campaign dubbed Think Different, featuring people like Picasso. His bedroom and his kitchen were a little bit messy.
Can I see what's in your fridge?
Sure, take a look.
Oh, you're a Soylent drinker.
I am.
For our listeners, Soylent is a drink made out of these different nutritional powders, and it's really popular with coders who don't want to spend time eating real food.
Anyway, that's all to say that Francisco's a lot like other young engineers in Silicon Valley. He went to Stanford, and the first job he took straight out of school ended up getting bought by the tech giant Cisco.
Not to be confused with the nickname that Francisco goes by.
And then, with that small amount of money he ended up making from that acquisition, he started his own company that was an exchange for betting on the price of Bitcoin. This kind of options market for Bitcoin turned out not to be compliant with federal regulations. So the government sent him a letter to shut it down, and he did.
Not long after, in February 2016, Rothenberg Ventures hired Francisco.
Rothenberg offered him a salary of $130,000 plus a $30,000 bonus. And although he said the firm had scaled back on some of those glitzier events, it still had a luxury suite at the basketball arena where the Golden State Warriors played. He went to the games and even saw a Rihanna concert there once, all on the company's dime.
It was a sweet job for a young guy like Francisco. But it didn't take him long to start to notice some things.
Well, the first red flag was actually my first week. The director of finance, who was also the head of compliance, quit. She just ran out. I didn't know why. Nobody explained it to me, but that was the first red flag.
Was it clear that something was weird was going on?
It was clear that something weird was going on, but I didn't know what it was. I thought it might have been something personal, or one of the things I suspected was that it was just like too bro-y an environment for her.
Not long after, Francisco said there was another troubling incident.
There's a groping incident. Somebody on the investment team groped an executive assistant. Mike ended up putting him on unpaid leave for a while, and then he came back shortly before everyone was put on, let go, basically.
Where did this happen? Just at the office or at a party?
A party. It was actually Mike's birthday. Everyone went out to a bar, Tonic on Polk, and lots of shots. The groping thing happened. Kind of ruined the night.
There's some early red flags, but so you had your, it got your suspicions up, but then you were still learning things. What else were you learning?
Yeah, so I had my initial suspicions. A whole theme throughout everything was just ridiculous spending, mainly on sports suites. And then I had some additional suspicions. The whole time, River Studios was in the same building, but Mike never really explained the funding situation behind that.
Let me explain a little bit. In addition to Rothenberg Ventures, the VC firm, Mike has also set up another business, a production company called River Studios that made virtual reality videos. And he set up another business on top of that called River Enterprises, which was another way of investing in companies.
Francisco says Mike owned a major interest in these new businesses. They were supposed to be separate from the venture capital firm that Francisco worked for, which was managing other people's money.
But Francisco was being regularly asked to do work for the other businesses, and that made him uncomfortable because he was supposed to work for just the VC fund.
I felt like I'd been duped by Mike. I felt like, I came in to build this LP portal to make things easier for the LPs. It turned out he was actually using it as, a way to mislead the LPs. Like one of the things that it was used for was sending out mass emails with notifications about the annual reports, and these annual reports didn't tell the whole story. He left out big things.
Francisco had access to the company's IT system, so he started doing some sleuthing. In a minute, we'll find out what he discovered. But first, a word from our sponsor.
You know where you want to be. Red Hat has the broad portfolio of open source technologies to get you there. Meet your evolving business challenges head-on with secure solutions for the enterprise, including Linux platforms and containers, hybrid cloud infrastructure, application integration and development, operations management, and beyond. Visit redhat.com/opentech to learn more. Red Hat, the open technology to help you realize your vision.
Before the break, Francisco had started noticing some things that made him suspicious of the venture capital firm he just joined, and he started poking around.
On top of the lavish spending, Francisco would later discover internal documents that showed that the management fees the VC firm had collected from its investors, so this is the money specifically intended for operating the fund, was actually being used by the virtual reality companies that Rothenberg was funding instead.
It kept on escalating and escalating. Also, because I made the LP portal, I was asked to upload annual reports. So I'd look at those and I'd see that these companies weren't disclosed in them. Like there's zero mention of River Enterprises in any of the annual reports. Zero mention of River Studios in the annual reports.
So that you were concerned that investors didn't even know that they were in sort of indirectly at least funding some of these other activities.
Exactly.
Most people shrugged off what they were seeing at Rothenberg Ventures. I spoke with former employees who said that even though that they had felt uncomfortable, nobody thought to step forward.
And it might sound like Francisco's nitpicking these tiny technical details here.
But I ran it by Andrew Touch, a professor specializing in financial regulation at Washington University School of Law. And he said this sounds like a case of self-dealing, which is when a person who's supposed to be looking out for the interests of investors instead takes advantage of his position to benefit him or herself. Apparently, the courts are pretty strict about this. Andrew said this fiduciary duty is the bedrock of finance, of maintaining the trust between companies and their investors.
At the time, Francisco didn't get the benefit of that expert guidance, but he still felt strongly that it was worth talking to the SEC. He'd read up on the responsibility that a fund like Rothenberg Ventures has to investors who have given it money. He felt it could be fraud if Rothenberg wasn't using the money in a way that he had told investors it would be used.
Once he made up his mind, Francisco went to the agency's website, sec.gov/whistleblower, where there's a form to submit tips. It's a simple questionnaire where you describe the complaint and give the government some information about yourself. And there's a way to upload documents.
In the complaint, he listed examples of how he felt funds were being misused.
So I submitted the form. About a week later, I got an email from a staff attorney there. She asked me to go in. I went in for one meeting at their San Francisco office. We talked about the form. She had a printout of the website, which had everybody's picture on it. So we spent some time talking about each employee, what their role was. It was, you know, like a nice office building on Montgomery Street. It was just the two of us in that conference room for that meeting. And then later on in subsequent meetings, there were more people.
Francisco had a lot riding on this. He knew that coming forward could cost him his job. If the SEC decided to do nothing against Rothenberg, would it still be worth it?
Did you think that you would be damaging your career and your future?
Yeah, I knew that to some extent I would be damaging my career.
Why do you say that so nonchalant?
I'm just so sure that it was the right thing to do that, you know, it was worth that price that I'd have to pay.
After that first meeting with the SEC, Francisco went back to work, like nothing was different.
He began to live this somewhat double life. While working like normal, he was also corresponding with the SEC, sharing documents with them and other information about Rothenberg.
Getting access to these documents wasn't difficult. Francisco was in charge of IT at Rothenberg Ventures, so he had access to all kinds of things that others didn't, like financial reports, email logs, and investor information.
He'd copy them onto a thumb drive and then send them to the SEC via email later from his house.
Did you feel paranoid?
A little bit, yeah, but I just didn't mention it to anybody and didn't feel that different.
This double life didn't go on for long.
A big turning point came just a few days later when he told the SEC that Rothenberg Ventures was making some changes to its IT systems and some of the email accounts were being deleted. This was in July of last year.
Soon after, the SEC sent an order to Rothenberg Ventures telling them to not delete any records. It was the first time that the firm knew it was in the SEC's crosshairs.
And then Francisco got a message to come to a meeting with two senior executives at the firm. Mike Rothenberg wasn't there.
I was doing my work, and then one of them sent me a text message, and he said that he had an IT problem that he needed help with, so could I make sure I was in the office in a few minutes? And I said, yeah, sure. And then I think about half an hour went by, and then he came by and got me. I was sitting on a couch in the main office there, and then he took me into what was really Mike's office, but Mike wasn't in the office that day. It was just a small office by itself off that main room.
And what happened?
So his first question was, he said, so we've noticed that you've been doing some government-related searches, and I didn't say anything to that. And then he said, did anybody tell you to do that? And I said, I'm not going to answer that question. And then he said, well, you're terminated, effective immediately. And then long, awkward pause. And then he said, do you have anything to say? And I said, I have some personal items on my desk I should grab. And then he escorted me to get that stuff and then out of the building.
How did you feel after that? Were you sad? Did you cry? Were you angry?
I was angry. Like my heart was pounding. Mainly angry.
Why were you angry?
That was unfair. Like, you can't terminate a whistleblower like that. And this was immediately after they got a document preservation order from the SEC.
So that's probably what ticked them off.
That's why they're suspicious, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The SEC has declined to comment about the case, but TechCrunch reported Rothenberg Ventures is being investigated for wire fraud, bank fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty.
In lawsuits from investors and employees, it's been alleged that Mike Rothenberg used money intended for the startups for his own benefit, to support his own lifestyle. And Francisco learned from emails he had downloaded from the firm that, at one point, Mike Rothenberg was paying himself about $1 million, which is a huge amount for a relatively small firm.
But Rothenberg was also struggling to manage it all. Last year, Rothenberg needed to provide documents and tax information and some return on investment to investors. And according to Francisco and some media reports, the money wasn't there.
Okay, so this is a little bit complicated, but stick with us. The records show that River Studios, which, if you remember, is one of the virtual reality businesses founded by Mike Rothenberg, this startup received $2 million from an investor. The same day, River Studios transferred $1.7 million to Mike Rothenberg's personal account. Also on that same day, Mike Rothenberg transferred once again $1.7 million from his own account to the Rothenberg Ventures account. According to Francisco, that gave Rothenberg Ventures the money to meet the deadline of the other investors.
By the way, that investor who wired the $2 million has now sued Rothenberg. The lawsuit alleges that Rothenberg commingled the bank accounts of his various entities, essentially treating the accounts of those businesses as his personal accounts. By the second half of last year, employees quit en masse, and a class action lawsuit is working its way through the courts. It alleges that staffers weren't paid. Another former employee has sued for more than $100,000 that alleges Rothenberg didn't repay for business charges that had been put on a credit card. American Express is also sued for unpaid charges. I knew Mike Rothenberg a touch when I did that story back in 2015, so I reached out to him about Francisco and to get his side of the story. He didn't respond, but a person who works for a New York PR firm that specializes in crisis management and image rehabilitation reached out. He told me Mike wouldn't be available for an interview, given the ongoing investigations and lawsuits.
Adam, did the spokesman comment at all about Francisco or the allegations made by him and in the lawsuits?
He disputed Francisco's allegation that he was fired for speaking with the SEC. He said that Francisco had already given notice that he was leaving. Francisco says this is not true. The spokesman also pointed out that Francisco had this run-in with authorities for the Bitcoin exchange. He was implying that it undermines his credibility.
But what about the core allegations about misusing money?
The spokesman declined to comment about the specifics, but Rothenberg did post a Facebook Live video earlier this year to explain.
So one of the things that I just want to answer head on, which I have done to the press, but they have not published it, and I want to be sure I'm very clear about this, is a question I've had is, you know, have you, you know, taken any money improperly? And the answer is no, and I've said that before, and that message continues to not get out there as clearly as it should. And another one is that have we made any investments without investor permission? We haven't. We have not made any investments without investor permission. For those kinds of rumors to go away quickly, there has to be very responsible reporting, and there has to be fair and balanced reporting. And there's a very big weight on the shoulders of reporters, because that particular group of people.
The video goes on, and in it, he spends a lot of time blaming the media for biased coverage.
Adam, you spoke to a few professors to better understand what kind of trouble that Mike Rothenberg and his firm might be in.
What I learned is the SEC has been pretty vigilant in protecting whistleblowers, including bringing actions against those who retaliate.
So that means it'll be pretty difficult for Rothenberg to come after Francisco for going to the SEC.
Yeah, and I also learned that Rothenberg could be in hot water, especially for what appears to be mismanagement of funds. Like we talked about earlier, fiduciary duty is the bedrock of finance. It's that trust between an investor and a person like Rothenberg who's investing that money on their behalf.
Do you think there's a risk of jail time here?
People I spoke with didn't think so, but there's definitely a possibility of financial penalties.
And even beyond that, Mike Rothenberg's reputation's in tatters now.
That's right. Rothenberg was this really ambitious venture capitalist, but now the firm is a bare-bones staff and the reputation has really been hurt.
In addition to speaking with the SEC, Francisco also began communicating with a few journalists about what he'd been finding at Rothenberg under the condition that they wouldn't name him.
At that point, while the firm's big spending and lavish events were well known, the internal turmoil had been largely kept under wraps. But in the months after that, several very tough stories came out chronicling Rothenberg's questionable management of funds.
Francisco says that he never regretted the decisions he made, but it did take a toll.
After he says he was fired, he made a last-minute decision to join some friends going on a 7-day hike in Sweden. On the walks, he talked about the ordeal with Justin Chen, a friend who's also a software engineer.
It was sort of then I realized that, oh, he wants to leave the city because he's worried about this place he was working at where he was terminated. I got the sense he was worried about it, about Mike Rothenberg coming after him personally for a while, like physically.
Justin says that even though this hasn't been easy for Francisco, he's in a much better position than most. Software engineering jobs are in big demand, and he'll likely have an easier time finding another job than somebody else might. At Francisco's apartment, there's a messy bookshelf with some tea packets, notebooks, a few fantasy books, and on the top shelf, we found one called The Whistleblower's Handbook, a step-by-step guide to doing what's right and protecting yourself.
Francisco said that he actually found the book only after he had gone through this whole experience of being a whistleblower himself. And he said he wished that he'd read the book before approaching the SEC. Now he thinks more people will be coming forward in Silicon Valley. He says he hopes to inspire others to step up.
Part of it's a critical mass thing. Once you have, you know, a few of those stories out there, it's easier for more people to do it. And then also I think that people are getting more fed up with mistreatment. Like, I feel like Silicon Valley is more unethical now than it was a few years ago. People are responding to that.
In what way? Why do you think that?
I feel like just because Silicon Valley is doing so well, it's attracting, you know, more bad people who wouldn't have come here 10, 20 years ago.
People who are in it for the money.
People in it for the easy money, yeah.
Francisco's now 28, and he's working on a startup idea, an email security program for businesses. He continues to work with the SEC and says he's available to be a witness in any of the lawsuits pending against Rothenberg.
He also says he's been applying for some jobs. He's invariably asked about his experience at Rothenberg. In one instance, he told them about his role blowing the whistle just to see what the response was. He said there was a bit of nervous laughter, and then he didn't get a call back. And that's it for this week's Decrypted. Thanks for listening.
If you work at a company where you suspect wrongdoing, get in touch with us. You can record a voice message and send it to decrypted@bloomberg.net. Or I'm on Twitter, @Satriano. Send me a direct message.
And I'm @AkiIto7. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a rating and a review. This really helps more listeners find our show.
This episode was produced by Pia Gadkari, Liz Smith, and Magnus Hendrickson. Thanks to Nico Grant, who helped with some of the research for today's show. Jeff Muskus edited my story about Francisco for Business Week. Alec McCabe is head of Bloomberg Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Decrypted is brought to you by Red Hat, whose broad portfolio of open source technologies for the enterprise helps you get from where you are to where you want to be. Red Hat, the open technology to help you realize your vision. Learn more at redhat.com/opentech.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.